Hello, dear saints. Good evening. Good evening, this beautiful evening. Trusting you're having a good day. And your week has been good as well. Right, trusting your day has been good. Your week has been good. We'll just go right into the word this evening. But just before then, just to be sure that, you know, we can all hear clearly, just so that we can get a start. Just to be sure that we can hear beautiful. From my end, everything seems fine. If I can get a thumbs up on any of our group chats, that would be lovely. That would be helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Seems like we're good. Beautiful. I'll just go right for it. Okay. All right. I'll just go right for it. Well, good evening, dear saints. Good to have you again this evening. We're here again for the first edition of Navigating Your Bible this year 2026. We had one, I think, November last year, and hopefully that was helpful for us, right? So we'll just pick it up. Beautiful. We'll just pick it up again this year. And like I said yesterday in church on Sunday, I said that this week's series will be paying attention to some fundamental things about our Christian faith, trusting that we're able to achieve certain things that I think the Spirit of God wants us to pay attention to at this part of our ministry and part of life, as a ministry, as a local church, as a local assembly. All right, let's just go into the world. Let's open prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, we'll just touch a few things. We'll start today, hoping that we get through a few fundamental things. Yep. I'm hoping and trusting you're ready. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That's where we usually will start, right? 2 Timothy 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Praise God forevermore. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. So Paul says to Timothy, his spiritual son, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now he says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, let's go back to some basics. Verse 15 says that from a child thou art known. Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou art learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou art known the holy scriptures. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures there. Now we said the word dear child, and we said that over time, that the word dear child does not mean, does not mean an infant physically. Right, that word, dear child, a good way to look at that, we'll speak about childhood, not from the offspring of your father, your mother, right, your physical, biological parents, but actually childhood from supernatural heritage. What that means is there are two faces of a child for a believer. The first phase is the one that is biological. Your father and mother gives birth to you. You are a child, right? And that way, by default, you are seen in your conduct, in the way you behave, as one who is a child. Now, when you become born again, because you are born again, it means that it's a different life, a different world. It means that you become what you call a believer in the early phase of life. So you can still call that as a child, right? So what Paul is particularly speaking about will speak a lot about the Christian faith and how Timothy being brought into the Christian faith and had a part of his life where he will be referred to as a younger man, younger child, younger boy, or a child as it were. So he says that from a child, or you can say a young Christian. So and that from a child, so Paul is saying to Timothy that from the infancy of your Christianity, that's from the beginning of your Christianity, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make the wise. And it's going to be arguable, anyone that floats your boat, to see that infancy there speaks about, physical, biological birth of Timothy, right? So a good way to look at that, because of the context in which Paul is teaching, he's talking about salvation, talking about the Holy Scriptures and what have you. So he said, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, right, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Are we together? He now says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, it's given by inspiration of God is a single Greek word. We've said it over time, theophanitos, right? So it's a word that speaks about inspired by God. Now, we said to be inspired by God does not mean that God dictated the writings of the Scriptures. No. Are we together, right? So you see, we've been looking at the series concerning spirituals, right? One of the things we pay attention to in series like that, what we do is to talk about how tongues and interpretation is not taught as tongues and translation, but interpretation. So that you have utterance does not mean that you are dictated to what to say. Are we together, right? And that's why sometimes in trying to communicate, right, you can get yourself in a position where you are trying to aim for clarity. You know what I'm trying to say? You remember on Sunday, was it Sunday? Yeah, I think it was on Sunday where we're having believers meeting, right? And one of the things we were ministering around was around, I think I spelled out a name, right? And the name happened to have an extended other letters and everything. Yeah, so if it were to be translation, right, a lot of times what should have happened eventually or what will happen eventually will be word for word, as I would say, or as a minister would say, should be echoed or re-echoed from my lips. Having proceeded from the lips of the Spirit, as you will call it, as some will call it, right? So when he says that all Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, it means that they are inspired by God. So it means that the inspiration behind the Scriptures has its roots in the personality of God. Or you can say that differently, right? I usually give this example. I've been doing that for a while, right? If you go to, you know what I want to say, right? Yeah, you should know. If you go to a waterfall, right, and I usually give you some example. Water is dropping from the top right to the bottom and everything, and you watch it and you observe it, right? And you have your wife with you, you know, and you say, just like the water dropping from the top to the, yeah, you say, so is my love gushing out for you, yeah. So the water fountain, the waterfall, inspired my thoughts, my ideology behind the words I used to communicate, my love, so is my love for you. However, the waterfall did not dictate to me what to say about my love for you. So I was inspired by watching, right? So Scriptures are inspired by watching. So if you look at that again, so all Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if you pay attention very well to Bible history and the time frames through which the Bible was written, one thing you will find out fundamentally is that, right, the Scriptures, as it were, when Paul were talking to Timothy, would not include, right, the writings of Timothy or the writings of the book of Timothy. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? It will not include the writings of the book of Timothy. It will simply be the writings of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, and minor, major prophets, and everything, Genesis to Malachi. You call it, like some would call as the Old Testament, right? So the Old Testament books, the Old Testament writings, right? So it means that right in the midst of those books had all that was required for the spiritual growth, right, of the disciples or of the believers. Are we together, right? So it means that ideally, if you go back to those scriptures, and that's why we do series like the Navigating Your Bible, more often than not, we try to see how we can go back to the pages of the Scriptures, right, to see how we could or how we got into certain conclusions as we have gotten into, particularly from reading the epistles, right? But you must understand something, right? That the scriptures written, right, ideally would need to be interpreted. What that means is that you ought not to go into the Bible. You know, have you heard some people say that the Bible is straightforward? All right. I've read quite a lot of books, right? Quite a lot of books for over the years. I'm talking about Christian book, spiritual book, self-development book, family book, personal growth, financial books, so many, several. In fact, reading quite a number as we speak. You know, and one of the things I found out that I keep finding out every day is that books outside of the books of scriptures are actually easier to interpret than the Bible. You understand? Let me tell you a fundamental reason. Each of the books in the Bible would have written at different dispensations of time, yet they are communicating a point. So what that means is that the variety of stories that you see across the scriptures and the varieties of the prophets that would have been used to communicate the stories across the scriptures will actually be influenced by the world in which they lived in. However, if you pick a random book, let's say, yeah, any book you pick, right? If you pick a random book, more often than not, it's one author that wrote it. At best, I think I've read a book here. I think the Millionaire Next Door. Yes, I think I've read a book that has two authors. I've read one that has three authors. You get, but okay. Maybe if you go back to New General Mathematics, right, or some of those books that we used in secondary school, maybe some of them had maybe four authors and the likes. But I'm saying four authors living in the same world is different from four authors living in different worlds. You get what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. There's no record that can prove and show that Moses had a physical interaction with David. You get what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that they did not meet in their time. They did not meet in the same world. They were not born in the same time, in the same world. Abraham wasn't born in the time of Solomon. You get what I'm trying to say? Even Jesus wasn't born in the time of, it wasn't made flesh, as it were, in the time of Abraham, the time of Moses and the like. So in the real sense, you realize the variety of stories communicated through the pages of scriptures, which is what would ideally make the scriptures very, very interesting to interpret. So when somebody takes the Bible and says, oh, well, whatever the Bible says, I believe the word of God is final authority over my life. Do you know that there are certain things said in the Bible, yet the Bible is not saying those things? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, it can be written there, does not mean it is there. You get what I'm trying to say? It can be written there, does not mean that that's what the Bible is saying. So that's where proper biblical interpretation comes in. You ought to ensure that you give your attention, your time, everything that you have to see yourself getting better with the things, with the things of scriptures. So the Bible is not a book where you just run. I'm not going to touch that today because of our time. Yeah, you see, I was listening to the Navigating Your Bible series that we did earlier on today, the one we did last year. So earlier on today, I was listening to Navigating Your Bible from last year. I think it was the edition of March last year. And I remember one of the examples, and I know I've said it over time, so it's something you are used to. So I'm just pointing your attention back to it. Right? One of the things we're talking about in that series was the fact that the people have lost their lives on account of the word of the Bible. I would get that. People have lost their lives on account of the Bible, on account of things written in the Bible, but not sure whether that's what the Bible is saying, right? And one of the easiest examples you can always run to is right from the pages of the beginning of the Bible, which is Exodus, right? Where you have the concept of the Hebrew woman delivery, right? There are people who have lost their lives and lost their children because they were having to try to believe for the Hebrew woman kind of delivery that does not need the support of medicine, does not need the support of doctors, right? And we've explained that over time. Hebrew woman delivery, right, is a story that is misread, misrepresented. What does that mean? Pharaoh, right, the king, will be on the side of insecurity, right? And he will realize that, oh, we are dominating the Israelites. We are actually caging the Israelites. We don't want a situation where the Israelites who we are caging are getting upset and end up finding themselves attaching their allegiance to the enemies when a war breaks out. What does that really mean, right? A king owns a city, or a king dominates or rules over a people, right? And amongst those people, there are people you call slaves. Now, you are scared that because of how we treat our slaves as a king, let it not be that 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the line, our country or our nation, our community begins to get into a fight with another community, right? And these slaves who we thought had our back and we had their back, because of how they feel regarding the concept of having back, not having back, slave, not, and all that, right? Yeah, they now join our enemies. You get what I'm trying to say, right? And what did he say? He said, okay, so because they will count the strength of a kingdom, of a community, based on the men that were giving birth to. Are we together? What did the king say? Let it be that any woman who gives birth to a male child, let the child be killed. So the man, the king, gives an instruction to the midwives. And what does he say to them? He says, when you go into the room, labor room, right, to do the work of a midwife, what do? You allow, you ensure that if you see a boy, if you see a girl, if you see a woman give birth to a boy, you ensure that you take the life of the boy. If you see a boy, a woman give birth to a woman, you allow the lady, the girl, to live. What were they doing? They were trying to reduce the strength of the Israelites, right? Based on killing children. You see, that's a very terrible act. You know, can you imagine having a woman go through the rigorous experience of 9 months that a man cannot relate to, a man cannot understand? Think about it too. A man cannot understand, no matter how much you try to be explained to, the dynamics that a woman goes through, right, in carrying a child for 9 months. Right? Yeah? A man cannot understand it. Right? A man cannot comprehend. A man cannot fathom it. A man cannot digest it. Altogether. In fact, history shows, science shows that the amount of pain, right, that is experienced within that phase, you know, just before they give birth and before women give birth, right, is stronger than a combination of several extremes of pain that can be imposed on a human. So think about it. That extreme, right, a man says, you see, when you see a woman, you see, sometimes you don't think through some things, though. You see, right? So he says, when you see a woman having done 9 months, so there is no scan that you can use to confirm if this is a male or a female. It is the woman would have to have gone through 9 months, right? And the moment the child is born, right, the child, once found out to be a male figure or a male child, you take the life of that. You get the point, right? So the killing of children, yeah, as it were, or killing of children who are just born, is not something that started in our world. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So the Bible now records in Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2, now tells you that the midwives feared the Lord, right? And on account of the fear they had, the word their fear means reverence, regard. The regard they had for the Lord, because of that regard they had for the Lord, they decided not to hearken to the king and decided to stay with regard and reverence for the Lord. So what now happens? The midwives, the women, eventually will find themselves in a position of compromise to who? Compromise to the king that is ruling over their land. Who's a midwife? Midwife is the one, you know, who helps in women taking delivery of their children. So what now happens? Because they know their lives are at stake, if they don't take the lives of the male children, what will happen? They had to create a lie. What was the lie? They now went back to the king, and the king will ask them a question. I'm narrating the story to you. We've read that over and over. You can go just read it. If this is your first time listening to us, go just read Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2. Before it gets to chapter 3, you'll make sense of the story, right? And they decided that when the king should ask them, right, that why have you done this? Because eventually the king is going to find out. What did they say? The Bible says that they said that the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. For when they step into the labor room, before the nurses, the midwives get all their trays and tables and syringes together, they've already given birth, taken the shower of their baby, wrapped their baby, and they're on their way home. Are we together? Right? That's some level of ease. You see, even the woman who gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ did not go through that kind of ease that was imputed into the heads or the brains of a lot of people who have read the scriptures. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The one who... Let's assume you want to link the... So the one who is the Lord and Savior and Master, right? Our Lord, Master, Savior, God in the flesh, taking on flesh, right? There should not be any struggle with the woman. A woman who did not bargain for that kind of delivery, right? considering the fact that she didn't have any intercourse, right, with her husband at the time. You get the point, right? And even at that, she didn't go through the ease at which some ladies expect the ease to be like when they go into the labor room, right? Yeah. So there are people, for instance, have you not heard people who say that because the Bible talks about, the transfusion of blood, you know, even when you are losing blood, no matter what, you don't take in the blood. Eventually, yeah, what happens? They take those things. Did the Bible say it? Yes. Is it written in the Bible? Yes. Is it stated in the Bible? Yes. But you see how a lot of us, we like to cherry pick. Are we together? Right? In the same scripture, for instance, you hear the Bible talk about how a house ideally should not have a balcony. Right? The same scripture will talk about how, you know, the kind of clothes we should wear that should not have multicolors, all those things. But we all go against them except the one that we want to use to float our boat. Altogether, right? So that doctrine of the Hebrew woman delivery came from Exodus. But how did they get to that conclusion? They came and got to that conclusion only by misinterpreting the scriptures. So they misinterpreted the scriptures. They misinterpreted the scriptures, right? And eventually they got to certain conclusions, which, like I said earlier on, has made a lot of people to lose their lives. You get the point, right? So a lot of times you need to, as a Bible student, behave as one and actually ensure that the way you view the Bible, right, or actually understand that the way you view the Bible will help in how you relate with one another. Yeah, why did I take it to that example to see, right? Paul will say, and that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures to make you wise unto salvation. Yeah, you know, sometimes you hear some people say things. I mean, it was really predominant a few years ago, a couple years ago, right? And you hear some of us say some things like, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. You know, that's a very myopic way to actually, you know, view the scriptures, because eventually you want to force everything to see Jesus. Christ is all, yeah? So your focus, ideally, can be Christ, the explanation from the pages of the scriptures. But not every story will point. Okay, how do you point the Hebrew man delivered to the story of Christ, please? How do we point it? Yeah, you know, that's what lets people saying things like, the stones that David picked up, how many stones did he pick? 5, right? What, how many letters is the name Jesus? 5. What is it? J-E-S-U-S, right? Yeah, and so since J-E-S-S equal to 5, it means that David knew about Christ. He saw the resurrected king. Yeah, sometimes you just sound very funny. You know, sometimes, let me tell you something, right? As a pastor, one of the things that has helped me a lot in Bible interpretation is not as much learning new things. It is as much listening to myself. I just told you, I've listened to yesterday's teaching, right? I was listening to Navigate Your Bible. I just said it earlier on today. That is within the last 24 hours. That has been one of the saving graces and the saving help for me as a minister. Because when you are standing in front of people and preaching, right, it's a different persona you have from when you are listening to whoever is preaching, either yourself or another person. Right, so I listen to myself a lot. It helps me. So sometimes I say some things in church, right, and I'm just like, you actually went a bit. Yeah, so what do? I take out my time to look for how to ensure that over time I bring correction to that which was said. You get the point? Yeah, sometimes, in fact, it might be some of you who will be listening and you say, oh, pastor, you said that. I remember there was somebody who called my attention to something I had said around leprosy and Aaron and Miriam, right? And what did I do? The next thing, immediately you come right to church, you make a correction straight away. Altogether, yeah, more often than not, when I listen to myself, it helps me think things through. So when you start saying that everything in scriptures points to Christ, you start wanting to see Christ from the pages of the Bible everywhere. Yeah, till the point you will say that the snake was Christ. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so we must understand that, I hope you know, that the prophets, as it were, right, not all of them came to a conclusion that they were expecting a resurrected king. Not all of them. If I think about it, why did the disciples who were living in the flesh in the time of Jesus still doubt that he would die, resurrect, he would die, buried, and resurrect? Yeah, to the point that someone will say, let me point you or put my hands into where they nailed you. We get what I'm trying to say. That's the height of unbelief, right? Or unbelief, really. And it's not unique to them. In fact, for our generation, we still have people who are still in the height of unbelief as well, right? Because ours is worse, because the resurrection reality is not our future. It's not in our future, it's in our past, right? So to assume and just think that everybody that spoke in scripture had everything. Everything is Christ. Say Christ, say Christ, Christ, Christ. Say Christ, say Christ, say Christ. Right? And the second word for Christ now that is very predominant in our lips now is the grace, the message of grace, the message of grace. It's just grace, 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 grace. You get the point? Yeah? So what am I saying here? Yeah? The Bible ought to adequate. See, I said this to the leaders. I think I said it last week. Not last week or 2 weeks ago. I said, you see, as you journey through the Christian faith, ensure that you don't put yourself in a position where you think you know it all. And sometimes, innocently, you act as though you know it all. Yeah? You act as though you know it all. Right? And you have to be as a minister of the gospel, which, you know, which we are, right? Be extremely careful. There is that. See, let me tell you, the moment two people teach two different things, by default, there's a classification. I'm saying it comes by default with a segregation. Yeah? Do you know what I'm trying to say? The moment we teach two different things by default, and our emphasis are two different things by default, yeah, it comes with a clan. You know what they call clan? Like, my people, your people. It comes with a me against you. And I was saying to them that you have to ensure you don't get yourself in a position where you are making that in itself that is natural worse. It's in the human instinct to want to have that segregation. Right? And that's where getting mature now comes in, learning how to know that we are all of one. You get the point? Yeah, and it's something we have to ensure we grow out of. Else, you just, because think about it. Have you seen people who always act as though they are the doctrinal prefects altogether? Right? Yeah? You see, as long as it teaches communion, because in our church we don't teach communion. If you teach communion, you know, we are against you. You're not for us. Right? Yeah? You start fighting unnecessary things. Anybody doesn't have a true grasp of the communion table or water. You see the water baptism? No, we cannot relate. No. It's interesting to know that there was a lot of these things that are dividing a lot of people in our generation, our world today. They were not mentioned as things that divided people in the writing, in the pages of the scriptures. What am I trying to say? You need to be discerning and sensitive, but you must always remember, no matter how discerning you are a work in progress. Yeah? You're a work in progress. 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 There are things you said 5 years ago, right, that you shouldn't say them again today. And if you still say everything you said 5 years ago today again, and you can still say them again today, then you're not growing. Yeah? And the moment you stop growing, like they will say, you start dying gradually. Yeah? If everything you said 5 years ago is all you say, and that is what you say, everything you say, word for word, example for example, you've not gotten any better, you're not growing. So if the point is, 5 years ago, I was saying something, I'm still saying things on that line, however, in a more refined way, with better exposure, it means I'm growing. So why should I castigate one who is also growing as well? But probably we are growing at different paces. Yeah, to think that, and that's why it's very troublesome. Yeah, you see that thing that, when you see someone that has a very critical spirit, I've had to be, you see, sometimes when I talk and I preach, one of the things I do for myself is to use my lifestyle and my life, as it were, as an example. When you see that spirit, that critical spirit that is always in existence in someone, you have to be careful. What I mean by critical spirits? Yeah, if you play a video of someone for 5 minutes, you can already see the official expression, trying to see where is the error so they can punch a hole. That's a critical spirit. Altogether, that's a critical spirit, right? When you are trying to ensure that you are not listening to hear what is being said, you are listening to see if they are right. So you have made yourself the judge of that which is right, that which is not right. Look at that, it's pride. And that's why, like I will say, I've said it severally in very recent times, you will know, both in local church, both in our meetings as leaders, and both in our workers. But I say, we don't compare our churches or our church with other churches. I said it yesterday, a church is not far from you as long as it is close to the epistles. We don't compare our churches or our church, local church, God's palace, with other churches. Yeah, we compare our local church to the scriptures, to the pages of the word. And as we keep growing, we get ourselves fine-tuned, get ourselves better. Right? So when you start seeing someone say, no, we are the grace circle. We are the people who are full of grace. You know, a lot of times, I'll tell you for free from my experience, I found out that lots of us who try to project the concept of grace are not gracious as well, at all. What does it mean to be gracious? To embody the characteristics of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of us are not gracious. And we're together. Yeah, we just have all the doctrine, we have all the Greek words, we have everything, and true growth will not actually be seen, right, as much. Yeah, let me be careful with my words there, right? How we know you are truly growing will be reflecting in your maturity, in the things you are learning, and how better of a person you are becoming. All together, right? So when you look through the concept of scripture, Bible interpretation, you must always remember that we are growing. We should say things better next day. I hope you know that I'm going to be better than I am preaching today 15 years from now, 5 years from now, this time next year. You get the point? Yeah, I was listening to a teaching of ours in, I think it was late last year or thereabout, you know, and I was wondering, and you know, the funny thing was when I preached that teaching then, I think it was 2021, right, that we had it, you know, uploaded and everything. When I preached that preaching, that's one of the easiest tracks I could share out to say, go listen to that, go get a fundamental understanding of this and what we believe and how we believe and how we got to these conclusions then. But truth is, I've done better than that. That's the point. We get the point. I've done better than that. I've done better than that. Right? And that's to show that we're growing. So when Paul says, and from a child you know the Holy Scriptures, that they are able to make you wise unto salvation, he's not saying that every story there, right, points to salvation. Please. Yeah, you know, and you know that some people that have that slant as well, right, eventually they can point the story of the Hebrew woman and the midwife's delivery to salvation. Yeah, can I hear somebody just wake up and say, Christ is the one that was born, which the midwife, the enemy, did not strangle. Are we together? And anybody who doesn't believe like that with them is heretic, is antichrist, is a false preacher. Altogether, what am I doing today? I'm trying to lay some foundations for you. So when you look through how the pages of the scriptures are written and how the words of the Lord is, the word of the Lord is written for us, yeah, you will realize that it takes a lot of patience and intentionality to grow in the word. Altogether, right? Yeah, it takes a lot of intentionality to grow in the word. So for every given opportunity that you have to grow in the word, what do? You jump at it. What do? You jump at it. What do? You jump at it. Why? Because you don't know where you will need those words. And like I'd always say, don't start building your faith when life seems to begin to happen to you. Now, understand, there's a faith part of saying life doesn't happen to you, life happens for you, and that's good, that's brilliant. But the truth is that when trials and tribulation actually raise their ugly head, and when you actually start seeing a lot of storm raising, it's raging around your life and your life and everything, right? That's not the best time to start preparing altogether. Right, yeah, like people will say, right, when you start, if you have to start preparing when an opportunity is on ground, it means that it means by default you're already late. If you have to start preparing when life is already raging, right, it means you're already late. Yeah, but thank God for God, praise God forevermore. Right, so what are we doing in this series? Navigating your Bible. We want to see the importance of Bible interpretation, and we said we will just touch some fundamental things today. Now, in the last few weeks, we've looking at something around 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'm in 1 Corinthians, and go all the way with me to the 12th. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit, right, of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit, a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gift of tongues, or gifts of healing, rather, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another descending of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Now, go back to verse 1. Now, concerning, we said the word there concerning is the word peri, right? Now concerning, that's the word that means to focus around something, to pay a lot of attention to something, or when you are speaking about something with respect to something, right? Yeah, pertaining, now concerning spirituals. Now we said the word there, spiritual gifts. The word there, gifts after spiritual, is not there in the original manuscript. How do you know? When you read through your Bible and you see a word in italics, more often than not, it was added by interpreters, who we call translators. Are we together? Yeah. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. So now concerning the things of the Spirit, now concerning the things pertaining to the Spirit, I will not have you to be ignorant. One of the things we've looked at as well, again, is the fact that if you look through chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1, verse 8, chapter 7, verse 1, rather, and chapter 7, verse 25, and chapter 8, verse 1, and chapter 16, verse 1, Paul will say, now concerning so and so, now concerning this question you asked me, now concerning that letter you sent to me, now concerning this matter I got to hear about, right? So it's to tell you that a lot of times the book of Corinthians should better be seen as a response book to an initial conversation, initial write-up that would have been initiated from the Corinthians, right? And thank God for those kind of questions that they asked, as it were, and the kind of issues they had in the Corinthian church, because there are lots of matters we can resolve today in our local churches because of the examples that we see in the writings of the prophets, in the writings of the scriptures, in the writings of the epistles, particularly, like I said, the Corinthians. All together, right? So if you go back to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of this world. So it means a man can receive and be ignorant. Now we said the word here, ignorance, means to shun knowledge, to shun light, to stay in the dark regarding a subject matter. So now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. But the natural man receiveth not the things, right? So the natural man is the one that receives not. The natural man is the one that receives not, right? So when you see a believer that receives not the things of the Spirit as a believer, he is using his natural mind, like we said a few weeks ago, right? So the believer has the mind of Christ. The believer has a natural mind. In the real sense, the believer will always is always expected to interpret interpret the workings and the works of the Spirit by the eyes or the mind of Christ. The moment you see a believer laughing and mocking the things of the Spirit, what are you seeing? You're seeing one who is using his natural mind to interpret supernatural things. All together. Now, look at Mark 16. So let's use today and tomorrow, try to brush up a few things around the gifts of the Spirit, particularly tongues, interpretation, the utterance gifts, right? We did a series last year called Spiritual Gifts. Was it last year or 2024? Called, I think it's 2024. Yeah, probably. Yeah, Spiritual Gifts, right? And we paid a lot of attention to the revelation gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. We paid a lot of attention in watching and practicing. And if you remember that series, right? Yeah, we ensure that after every teaching meeting, what did we do? We sat down in church to ensure that we would demonstrate the things of the Spirit. Remember that series, right? I remember that was a series where we would ask one person to give a word of knowledge, right? And we would ask that person to stop there and ask another person in the room to continue from that exact word of knowledge and give another detail. But remember that story, remember that series, right? Then we'll eventually find out who we are speaking about. Then ask another person to what? Give a word of wisdom to help us, you know, minister to the person to whom we've identified by word of knowledge, right? We did that for, I think, 8 weeks, if I can remember very well, right? And, you know, I'm sure this is one of the things that helped some of you to grow things of the Spirit and also in confidence in expressing the things of the Spirit. Now, this particular one, again, is called concerning, the one we've been doing rather this particular time is concerning spiritual season 3, which we will probably wrap up on Sunday. But I thought to use the first 2 days to just touch base on a few things there. Then probably next 2 days, use a few things again from God's word. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Excuse me. It says, These signs shall follow them that believe. What did he say? In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. All right. He says, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, right, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with what? Signs and wonders. Praise God forevermore. So this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall what? Speak with new tongues. Now we said the word there new is the word in the Greek kainos. Yeah? The word there new is the word in the Greek kainos, not kairos. Kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. Right? And that's a word that in the real sense, when it is used, is spoken about that which is, you know, new. You can call it uncommon. So when it says, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils and they shall speak with uncommon tongues. Right? That's exactly what he's teaching. Right? Paul uses the same word in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, creature. Excuse me. Right? We said that in Galatians chapter 6 verse 15, Ephesians 2 verse 15, Ephesians 4 verse 23, you know, speaking about the new man, the new creation, the new, a new species that has never existed. Now look through that. Now on Sunday, two Sundays ago, we started looking at the concept of Acts chapter 2 and what was happening in Acts chapter 2. Right? I said that they began to speak with other tongues, and we explained the dynamics of what was happening in Acts chapter 2. We'll be good to lay hands on that series if you've not been following that. Right? So what we communicated there was very simple, right? That for there to be a mocking of people, and for there to also be an interaction amongst people who were mocking, it means there was a common language, and there was an uncommon language. Do you get that? Yeah, that's the word kainos. Right, for them to be saying these men are acting like drunk men, it means the Holy Ghost was right upon them, right? And there were certain demonstrations that were similar to men that were drunk. That's in the scriptures. Are we together? Right? You know, I was saying on Sunday when somebody was talking about that, when the Bible talks about how in Acts 4 that they were praying and the place was shaking, that he said they were inside canopy. What a way to explain. Right, he said they were inside canopy. That's why it was shaking. It was shaking the way the Bible explained it. No, when the Spirit of God is around, yeah, you see strange, diverse things. Now there will be things. Let me say it differently. In an ideal place where the Spirit of God is, there will be things common. Things are common. Amen. Are we together? That was what was the dilemma for them in Acts chapter 2. They came around for the day of Pentecost and they were wondering what's uncommon. What's this uncommon thing happening here? Right? So there were things common. What was the thing common? Things common. They were able to say, we hear them speak about the wonderful works of God. That means they had a common language. Ideally, they were supposed to give themselves, right, to what? Observing much more the things that were in fact uncommon. Right? But what did they do? They started what? Mocking. So ideally, where the Holy Ghost is present, you should have things common, things uncommon. That's a good local church. Are we together? Right? And I mean good uncommon, not uncommon, not, we have some very uncommon things happening amongst our midst right now, like we spoke about yesterday, right? Where somebody comes to church with their tripod in front of them, they are recording themselves while they are worshiping and they are crying. Yeah. Someone comes to church, right? It baffles me. How can a church have a media team? Right? Yeah. This one is not critical spirit. This one is just basic common sense. How can a church have an entire media team? Right, going to go and wait for members at the car park to snap them when they come out from their car, even while service is on. Even while service is on, yeah. Find out we have more people building their brand than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All together, the uncommon things we see happen in the book of Acts are things that are not as fleshly, as materialistic. All together. Right? Yeah, you have a team coming to welcome your pastor and his wife from the house. They have a team that is always doing video snapping your pastor driving out to the church. You have a team we are building a brand for ourselves. Are we together? We're building a brand for ourselves. Right? One of the easiest things to say is that, oh yeah, you are jealous, you are this, you are not have this, yeah. But blessed are you when you find out certain things, okay? Yeah, so Bible says, you know, this as I follow them, they will begin to speak with uncommon tongues. All right, so it means that the tongues is not an evolution of an existing language. It's a language that is unique to a kind and a type of people. So it's not an evolution, right? Yeah, it's not a language that is learned. That's why it's interesting when you hear some other people Very truly, 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 very uncommon things happen in our midst. Yet we have some other people who teach people how to speak in tongues, not who impart for tongues. It is say after me. Repeat after me. Are we together? Then when you just get to a point where you when it enters your spirit, what you do? You confuse the language again. Yeah, you go south, go north, go east, ensure that you dribble the person that taught you how to speak in tongues. All together, right? So tongues is for, and it's only spoken by believers. I always say it this way. When somebody who is not a believer speaks something that sounds like your tongues or speaks something that sounds like tongues, it is not tongues. Why? They are not a believer. So tongues is only that which is a language that is unique to those that are believers. Even though people who are not believers can mimic and re-echo the sound of tongues. Altogether, right? Look at another example of tongues in Acts chapter 10, right? Because of our time, I would have wanted us to go back to see how we could look through the origination of language in this series, but I just felt like, let me just touch a few things as well again. Let's just navigate the Bible together based on some of the things that we trust the Spirit of God will direct us to do. Look at Acts chapter 10. So look at Acts chapter 10, right? And look at verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. So what was Peter doing? Don't forget the backstory, right? Peter will be sleeping. Peter will see a vision. A man will send people to go pick Peter. Joppa conversation comes into your scriptures. You see Peter come to the house of Cornelius, his household. He has prepped them well. And Peter is now teaching. Long story short. So verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, what words? The words of the message of the gospel, the words of the message of life. All right. Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Look at verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Right? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. That's similar to Acts chapter 2, verse 11, right? Where it says that they were speaking the wonderful works of God, right? They magnified God. They magnified God. Look at that again. It says, for they heard them speak in tongues and magnified God. That the same Peter, excuse me, Peter in Acts chapter 2, the same Peter Acts chapter 2 verse 13, the same Peter now comes in Acts chapter 10 verse 46, and it says, for they heard them speak, them answer Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to baptize in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry for certain days. So Luke said they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? Now, one of the things we've said over time is the fact that the book of Acts is a book that speaks a lot around descriptions of events. Now we're together, right? Descriptions of events. Now, explanations as well are found there, but not as much as you will see them in the epistles. Acts has a lot of descriptions. This happened, that happened, this place was shaken. This happened, that happened, the Holy Ghost fell. This happened, that happened, the works of the Lord was spoken about. Yeah? So, a lot of descriptions were going on in Acts chapter 10. Altogether. So the book of Acts will be one of, you know, examples of eyewitness. I can also call it the journalistic experience of Luke. Altogether, right? So a lot of times as believers, whilst we are building doctrine from the book of Acts, we ought to be careful. Altogether. Go back to Acts 2. We ought to be extremely careful. So look at Acts 2 again, right? What now happens in Acts 2? Bible says that, but others were mocking verse 13, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. Verse 15, he says, for these are not drunken as ye suppose. Are we together, right? Seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, navigating your Bible. So it means that to see the conclusion Peter got to, right? To see the conclusion that Peter got to, right? In Acts chapter 2, verse 15, or verse 13, or verse 14, verse 15, you must ensure that you remember that Peter was going to have the scriptures as his Bible, as his background. I hope you know, when everything in Acts was happening, right? The book of Acts was not written. Praise God forevermore. altogether, right? So when Peter wanted to explain what happened on the day of Pentecost, where did he go to? And that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Yeah? And that from a child, let me ask you a question. Would that be when Peter was born by his biological parents? No, don't forget, Peter had spent 40 days with Jesus, his Lord and Savior. All together, right? So there will be the spiritual infancy of Peter for him to be fully aware that scriptures are to point our attention to the workings of God and the work of God. So what did Peter do? The Bible says, as the scripture said, right? Who said it in the scriptures? Prophet Joel. Did Joel and Peter meet physically? Nope. Did Peter and Joel eat together physically? No. So what did Joel say? Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that last day, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So if you go to Joel and read in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, what should you see? What should come to your mind? This ought to be interpreted. Yeah? So look at it again. He says, and your sons and your daughters shall, yeah? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Look at Joel 2. Let's go to Joel 2 quickly. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Look at, so, Prophet Joel, what will be his scriptures? Yeah, the writings of Moses. Look at Numbers 11. So, who will Joel teach from? Okay, who did Peter teach from? Joel. Who will Joel teach from? Moses. How do you know? Go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 30. Look at verse 35. Let's read it out. Look at verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Now Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. You know, that's impartation. Okay, so before you get to a conclusion of impartation in 2026, where should you see impartation taught? It should be taught in scriptures. What do I mean by scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. Yeah? You see some very interesting people because of the knowledge they've started reading and getting. It's nothing like impartation. Nothing like impartation. Right? Nothing happens when hands are laid. I know for a fact that things happen when hands are laid. Yeah? You would need to make my eyes physically see the division of the clouds and see 250 million angels at once with my physical eyes, and I will count them one after the other before you can make me believe that there is nothing called impartation. There's such a thing called God taking from the spirit upon a man and placing it and laying it on another man. Are we together? All right? Are we together? All together. Praise God forevermore. Right? So this is an example. So it did not start with Paul. Right? It didn't start with the apostles. It didn't start with Jesus. Look at what happens here. Yeah? And Bible says that, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it on. So he took from and gave it to. Yeah? To the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. See, God took from upon Moses spirit of prophecy and laid it and placed upon them the elders, and the Bible says they prophesied. That means something happened because Look at Deuteronomy 34. Yeah. Look at Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him." You get the point? Yeah? So, when is that? And that's why you can't afford to mock the ministry of laying on hands. Yeah? Comedian lays hand on somebody and find the person vibrating like as if they put tear gas on their body or something like that, and you now start laughing. No, you are mocking the things of the spirit. Yeah, things do happen when God's men lay hands on you, or when God's men lay hands. Let me say it differently so I can make it clear. Things happen when God's men lay hands on God's men. Amen. Yeah, we're all God's men. Are we together? But we're not all God's men. Are we together? You get what I'm trying to say? Oh? Yeah. We are all God's men, but we are not all equal God's men. But we are all God's men because we have the equal Spirit of God, right? But there's such a thing called the deposit of the Spirit, right? I don't know where I'm going here today, right? Yeah, there's such a thing called, okay, I think I know where I'm going there. There's someone who you've started getting yourself involved in interactions and conversations, and you, yes, this is, oh, so this is why I came here, actually. That is it, that is it, that is it. I'm seeing you in the midst. In fact, you had a meeting with this same family. It's a family conversation. Yeah, more like family friends, right? More like family friends. And there's a particular family friend. And I'm seeing this particular family friend is actually very related. This is more than a family friend. This is actually relations. Are we together? And for every time there is, you listening to me right now, you in your family, you have made up your mind and you've concluded that this person always mocks the things of the spirit. Listen to me carefully, right? You've already concluded that this person always mocks the things of the spirit. The word is not concluded. You've affirmed, like you know it's a reality, but you will carelessly keep giving room for that. The word of the Lord to you today is this, right? That you are destroying yourselves and you are destroying your lineage. Are we together? You are destroying yourself and you are destroying your lineage. I didn't mix my words up. Yeah? Yeah? For if you are not careful, a time will come that the things of the spirit you have experienced tangibly in the life of your family and those around you, are we together, right, will cease. Not because the Spirit of God took them away, but because your mind has been watered down and been tampered with and been influenced by negative words. Yeah, let me make it clear. You will know yourself, right? When you meet this particular person, right? It's a person. It's like a family. It's family with a family, but there's a person. When you meet this particular person, you clearly know that 5 out of 10 times, if not more than that, there's going to be something that will lead to the Christian faith that will come into mockery. Yeah? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Right? What you mock, you won't see it happen. You won't experience it. Not because God will not want to make you experience it, but because your mind is being tampered with and it will shift you away from receiving all the benefits of the Spirit altogether. So I'll say to you, be warned. Right? You know, I always tell you, is to keep your sanity, there are people you need to shut up. Yeah? By the anointing and the oil of the Holy Ghost on your life. Are we together? Yeah? There are people you shut up honorably. You know why? Because there are sometimes the damage that is caused. You know, let me go back to my same example I usually give. Don't allow one who is bleeding to spill his blood on you. More often than not, when they wash their clothes and dry clean it, you will not even be aware that your clothes is dirty. That's another dynamics to it. Yeah? So don't get yourself in that place. Yeah? Once the next time you find yourself in that conversation, right, you just tell them either they are older than you or whatever the case is, you tell them, please, so-and-so, can we not talk about this right now? Yeah? We've spoken about this enough and I clearly know your stand on this. Thank you. Right? You know, there are people you walk out of your house. You know, I always tell you, yeah, if you want to live long, I want to do ministry for long. There are people you walk out of your house. Let me tell you, that is love work. You know why? You know why it's love work? Because you are helping them keep their mouth shut. Because and that's why you see, when you see people gossip, the people that gossip, the one that listens to the gossip is much more at fault than the one that has the gist to gossip. Did you hear that? Yeah, the one that listens to a gossip is much more at fault than the one that has the gist to give. Because if I have a gist to give you and you shut me off and I don't give you, you've walked in love towards me. Do you understand? You understand? But you know, when you start hearing gist and you start saying, is that so? Is that so? You are being contaminated, right? And I'm seeing this particularly for the things of the spirit, right? I won't say more than that. Yeah? But learn the art of making sure that you ensure that you stop and deal with contamination immediately. Maybe that's why I went there. Anyways, so something happened to Joshua because hands were laid. Something happened to the elders. The Bible says that when God took from the spirit of Moses and put upon the 70 elders, the Bible says they prophesied and they did not cease. That means something supernatural happened. Look at verse 26. Now, but there remained two of them, of the men of the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Now look at verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses, Moses, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. What did Moses say? And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people, yeah? How else can you read that? And Moses said unto him, for God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Yeah, did you see that? Yeah? And your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. You get that, right? Yeah? So he says, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. So Joel was not teaching out of the blues. So Joel will say, and it will come to pass that I will pour out my spirit. What is that? Moses is saying, would God that all of God's people be prophets? Same thing. What will Peter say? As it was written by Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the house handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit. Are we together? Right? Let me go back to what I was saying earlier on. Yeah? I could see the need. One of the reasons why you've kept contaminating yourself is because you think you are trying to preserve a relationship. But let me tell you, you are destroying your lives. Amen? I want to say about that again. Yeah? It says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, yeah, you are trying to eat your cake and have it. Yeah? You are trying to eat your cake and have it. I want to say about that again. I'm a CCO, but I won't smell that again. Yeah? So it says, and also upon the servants and upon the housemaid in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. Right? Yeah? So in the real sense, these were utterances by Joel that would have its backing in prophecy with Moses. Praise God. Go back to Acts 2. Acts 2. There's someone who felt a sharp pain in their stomach today, right? Earlier today, right? It was just like a very sharp, stinging pain. It came more than once, definitely. Right? Power of God is at work in you right now. Yeah, power of God is at work in you right now, and it clears every pain from the roots. It clears every, in fact, that pain has already started making you think of very interesting possibilities. But the power of God is at work in you right now. I decree over your life right now that God's powers are working in you right now to create a course, right? To create a total healing, right? In the name of Jesus. Look at chapter 2 again, and look at verse 13. So it says, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by prophet Joel, by extension you can say Moses. And it shall come to pass in the last days, Lord, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my Sabbath and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Would the Lord have all men to prophesy? God will want all his men. That's how Moses said it, KJV, right? God will want that all of his people. Woe to God that all the lost people be prophets. That's how he said it. Altogether, right? And I will show you wonders in heaven, sign on the earth, and the sons, and it shall come to pass that whosoever call upon my name shall receive. Verse 23 now goes further to keep teaching about the world. Look at Acts 19 as we close this evening. Acts 19 and look at verse 6. It says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost what? Came on them. So this is another example. So before you read Paul laying his hands on people, you must have read Deuteronomy 34:9. Numbers 11, 29, Numbers 11, 29, right? You must have seen a consistent practice of the culture of impartation. All together, yeah? Culture of impartation right from the beginning of scripture. If you go back even to Genesis, you see the laying on of hands of the father to his children and to his sons and all the likes, right? So verse 6 now says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. What now happened? Bible says, they began to speak with tongues and then prophesied. Woe to God that all the Lord's people are prophets. One of the things you will find out that was not mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, thereabout, and Joel chapter 2 was the word tongues. Right? So, Paul will speak about, rather, when Acts 19 will talk about how hands were laid and began to speak in tongues and prophesied. When you go back all the way to Acts 2, well, began to speak in other tongues. When you go back to Joel 2, there was the word tongues will not be there, but it just says, my sons and daughters shall prophesy, they shall see visions and they shall dream dreams. But Peter, don't forget, we already started establishing that two things were happening in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 13 and 14. Something common, something uncommon. That which was uncommon, the outsiders were mocking it. That which was common, they could relate with it. They were speaking about the wonderful works of God. You get what I'm trying to say? So eventually you will find out that even though Joel spoke about prophesying, for Peter to have picked the concept of prophesying as the scripture used to explain what was happening in Acts chapter 2, it meant that by default, right, another language there and a language that is understood is what combines together and can be taught as prophecy. Don't worry, I'll explain that again tomorrow. Let me say that differently. Joel says they shall prophesy. Joel says he shall prophesy. However, when you look through the true life narrative that happens in Acts chapter 2, there was that which was common, that which was uncommon, right? Prophecy, ideally, when it is heard, should ideally make sense to the mind and the hearings of the one who listens, right? But if ideally there is no, if there is no making sense to the mind of the one who listens, it means there is something uncommon happening. And clearly we see in Acts 2 something uncommon happened, or something uncommon was happening. What was that which was uncommon that was happening? That which was uncommon that was happening was simply the what? Extra a dead layer, right? Of a language that we call in Acts 2 for other tongues being spoken as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are we together, right? So when you look through Paul's teaching and Paul's revelation, you know, on the things of the Spirit, you will find out that Paul will emphatically look at that priority, but Paul will emphatically now teach about the giving of the Spirit and how the giving of the Spirit can also help, or is the proof that a man who has a Spirit can speak in tongues and can prophesy. So the believer is spiritual. Why is the believer spiritual? Because 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, now we have received the Spirit. All together, right? So the believer is spiritual because he has received the Spirit. And because you're spiritual, it means that there is one of the things that can be termed as the gift of the Spirit in you, which is what? The gift of tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. So chapter 2 says we have received. So that's 6 verse 16. Verse 17, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. What? Verse 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, Why is he so when Paul says, "Knowing you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you," what's he reaffirming? Verse 12, chapter 2. Now we have received the Spirit. Are we together? Right? He says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." All together, right? So ideally, Paul affirms that the believer is joined with what? Unto the Lord in one spirit, right? This is chapter 1 of the same First Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 7. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all what? Utterance and in all knowledge." He now says in verse 6, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So they were not behind in other spiritual gifts. They had all the gifts of the Spirit in operation. However, there was a need for Paul to still address the sense of shunning and rejecting and willfully declining. Altogether, right? So the church was enriched in all utterance. They were enriched in him and in all utterance and in all knowledge. So the fact that a man is indwelled by the Spirit does not mean that he will not or cannot choose or will not remain ignorant. Altogether. So a man can have something and he will not know what he have. So what's the cure for ignorance? Knowledge. "I would not have you to be ignorant." Paul will say this. Let's close in 1 Corinthians 12 now. "I will not have you to be ignorant." Altogether. So the believer must not and cannot afford to remain in the dark. He cannot afford to remain an unlearned. If you look at chapter 14, and look at verse 16. It says, chapter 14, verse 16, "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned?" So there's the room of the unlearned and there's the room of the learned. And these two rooms can exist in the same room. Are we together? Right? So Paul says in chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Right? Look at verse 3. What's the solution to ignorance? "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit, no man speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Are we together? Right? Yes? Go back to chapter 14 again. He says, verse 16, look at verse 15. Look at verse 14. He says, look at verse 13. "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray that he may interpret." Are we together? Right? Pray that he may interpret does not mean when you finish speaking in tongues, say, "Lord Jesus, please give me the interpretation." No, it is, let he that speaks in tongues, right, ensure that he prays or gives or produces or ensures that he gives out an interpretation. How do you know? It's not difficult to see why is what he was teaching. Look at the next verse. He didn't say pray for the interpretation. No, pray that. That means you desire, look forward to actually bringing interpretation. Right? How do you know that? He says, the next he says, "Because, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing my understanding also. Why else?" So the context of verse 13, verse 14, verse 15 is actually verse 16. "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen to the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not thou what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well," yes, "but the other is not edified." Verse 18, Paul now says, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all." I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Altogether. So tongues is a language the believer ought to bask himself with or wrap himself in. Paul says, do you know what it is for a man of God to come to the front of his audience, right? And say, "More than all of you, I don't know your private lives. I don't know where you live. I don't know what you do with your time every day. But I can tell you for free, one thing I bank on is the fact that I know that I pray in tongues when you are." That means the life of Paul was full of what? Tongues. I'm yet to see anyone who teaches about the concept of, cessation. What they call it again? I've been forgetting the word. Yeah, the concept of cessation, right? Cessationism, is that what they call them? Right? That teach about the things of the Spirit ceasing and all of those kind of things. I'm yet to see a very intelligent interpretation altogether of I pray in tongues when I yawn. altogether. Yeah, so Paul will voraciously spend time in tongues, and he will make it clear to his audience. Thank God for the issues they had in Corinthians, because this is one of the few examples that makes us know that Paul spent a lot of his prayer life in tongues. So he says, I pray in tongues, I pray in understanding. I sing in tongues, I sing in understanding, right? But the fact remains that there is such a thing called the edification needed for the other one, or for the heart, or for the man to whom is mine, or for the man in the room of the unlearned. Praise God. We'll pick it up again tomorrow, right? And try ponder on the words you've heard today, right? And let's see how far we can go again tomorrow, just to ensure that we touch base on some of the fundamental things. So tongues is something you give yourself to voraciously. Ensure you spend a lot of time, a lot of time, a lot of time praying in tongues, praying the Holy Ghost, right? It's studying scriptures. Altogether, he's explaining scriptures. Yeah, he that believes this sign shall follow them, he shall what? Cast out demons, and he shall speak with uncommon tongues. A tongue that is not unique, or that is not associated with any other tribe or religion. A tongue that is associated and unique to only those who have the indwelling of the Spirit. All right, so tomorrow, we'll pick it up again tomorrow at what time again? 7 p.m. UK time, 8 p.m. Nigerian time. Right, and also look forward to this coming Sunday as well. Our time differences are changing, so just so you can know as well, Nigerian Church, you know, I'm sure that would have been announced. Our services from Nigerian Church becomes 10 o'clock on Sunday, which is going to be the same time with the UK Church as well. Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been instructed by that. All right, looking at navigating your Bible, day one, yeah, we'll pick it up again tomorrow, day two, and trust God by Spirit as well that we will communicate some very interesting things that we need to know as believers. Love you all so dearly. I'll see you tomorrow. Cheers.